in the book of Equanimity. It is interesting question and answer between Zen teacher and his student. Case 52. Southern Zen master, he says, Kaoshan, in Chinese, Kaoshan asked the elder D, the Buddha's true reality body is like space. It manifests form in response to beings, like the moon in the water. How do you explain the principle of this response? D said, liken us looking in the well. Kaoshan said, you said a lot indeed, but you only said 80%. D said, what about you, teacher? Kaoshan said, like the well looking at the S. The Kaoshan asked the monk, elder monk D, the Buddha's true reality body, that is ultimate, that may be understood as the ultimate state of mind, heart, the very ultimate state of mind, heart, the very ultimate state of mind and heart is manifesting in the simplest way, very simple. That is called, we say, oneness. Very simple, but externally, in the external world, including material world and also state of consciousness, you can see, though they are very complicated. But real ultimate state of mind, heart, is very simple. So that is called the Buddha's true reality Dharma. Originally it says true Dharma body. Means a true, real state of the truth. What is real truth? What is the real truth is? So here says the Buddha's true reality body is like a space. Space here is represented as Akasha in Sanskrit. Akasha means space or sky. So this is a particular term in Buddhism. In the Prajnaparamita, Zen scriptures, this term can be found very often. So space, the Akasha is used for representing, well, to say space and sky, which means boundlessness, boundlessness, infinity, or countless. That is a space, space. So in Abhidhamma Kosha, Abhidhamma Kosha is oldest Buddhist scripture explaining the human world, human life in terms of function, the faculty of the consciousness, faculty of consciousness, that is Abhidhamma Kosha. In Abhidhamma Kosha, it says Akasha has a specific quality of no obstructions, no obstruction, in which it has its motion. So Akasha space, or the sky, is characterized by no obstruction, no hindrance, because it's boundless, it's infinite, it's countless. And then in this boundlessness, in this infinity of forms means form of a human body, form of a flower, form of a table, can have a chance to move, to function. Is that clear? So, only within the Akasha, space, and sky, which means boundless infinity, form of all sentient beings can make their life alive. Alright? So where are you now? Are you in your own territory, you believe? Mm-mm. That is a small scale of small understanding, very shallow understanding. So you are alive now. Where? Where are you? Why can you be alive? Because you are in Akasha. This is a unique chance, opportunity for all sentient beings to make their life alive, or to make their life, what would you say, manifest themselves anyway, in everyday life. Alright? So, that's why it says Akasha has a specific quality of no obstruction, no hindrance. This infinity boundlessness is characterized by no hindrance. Anyway, means constantly working and functioning, supporting, helping all sentient beings to create their own life. It makes sense, really. That is in which it has its motions. It's really, you can see real motions of human life, real aliveness of human life in where? Not in your territory. If you see your functioning motion in your territory, it freezes. immediately. So it doesn't work. So only in the realm of infinity boundlessness you can see real functioning, total watching of your life, full aliveness of your life. Well, so let's read first sentence. The Buddha's true reality body is like a space. What is a truth? Real truth. What is real nature? Real state. Ultimate state of mind and heart. It is just like a space. Space. Or sky, just like motion, with no hindrance. This is your ultimate state of mind, heart, called truth, ultimate truth. So, Akasha said, Akasha asked Elder D, said the Buddha's true reality body is like a space. It manifests form in response to being. In other words, how does this ultimate state of mind heart respond to its own being? In other words, truth, ultimate, real ultimate state of your mind is not just something, you know, ghost. It's not something, you know, foggy, you know. It's working in your life. If it is working in your life, it must manifest itself as a being. Okay. Because you know, you cannot exist without awareness. So if you exist in this world, you have to awaken you, awaken you, who you are, and then you are really feel sense of subjectivity, which is working in your life. So this is the function, a bedrock of a human function, constantly. Anyway, if something is working, it's very naturally, it has to know, well, what it is. That is called awareness. So for instance, if Karagini, this guy, really works in his life, he has to awaken to his life, anyway. Without awareness, well, I can't make my life fully alive. If I don't awaken, my life is working, but very naturally, sooner or later, it becomes messy anyway. So if my life is constantly full functioning, what do you mean? Well, I have to know. So that is a characteristic of motion, okay? Aliveness. So alive, if you say, I am alive, I am present, at that time, without awareness, you cannot say, I am present. No, you cannot say so. So if you say, I am present, that presence, your presence must be backed by, well, deep awakening. At that time, it is called real presence, your presence. So, same applies to the ultimate state of mind and heart, which is just functioning fully, anyway, without no obstructions. So, that is called truth. So, truth itself is characterized by knowing what it is. So very naturally, how to know? In order to know it, anyway, it has to respond to its own being, taking form. Okay? And then it appears, simultaneously appears. So when it appears, that's why it says it manifests form. Simultaneously, it manifests form in response to beings. Alright? Like the moon in the water. What do you mean response? What do you mean by response? How response? Well, we want to know how truth, you know, manifests on the surface of water, so-called being, alright? Taking a form. How can truth manifest? We want to know. We want to know. Do you understand? We always separate truth and phenomenal world. Form. Always form of human world. But truth doesn't have a particular form because it's functioning, so-called energy, so we don't know. We don't know anyway. But it's manifest because it is functioning. If it functions, well, very naturally it appears. It appears. How does it appear on the human world? That's pretty hard to know. So that's where intellect always research how. We want to stuff up this gap between phenomenal world and truth. Do you understand? You do always stuff up always. But you never stuff up with your knowledge because simultaneously it's working. Simultaneously is not good enough. It's not up for term. I don't know how. So that's why we say immediately or simultaneously. We say so, but it's not adverb. It's verb. Anyway, it's working. Simultaneity. It's not now, but I don't have any function term, so I don't know how you can express it. So simultaneously, anyway, it works like this. So that's why he says they like the moon in the water. Okay, like the moon in the water. Moon's the sky, and the water is on the earth. That is, well, the world of human speculations. So there are nine moons over there, and the pond is here. How can the truth manifest form in response of being? How can the moon? Okay. Moons manifest itself in the response its own being. So, simultaneously, shadow, reflections on moon. But this is really understanding of intellectual understanding. So, very natural, first of all, we set we said all sentient beings in a dualistic way, move, words. Then how can they both work together, putting together? So move, reflect in the world. We can say so. But it's still dualistic, do you understand? It's still dualistic because without setting the moons and the water in a dualistic way first, you don't see that function to get the one function. Well, you don't see the aliveness at the one. So very naturally, we took examples of moons and water. For example, you see that. So very naturally, it is still dualistic. It's pretty hard to say, all right? But anyway, he says, truth is just like a space, just a motion without no hindrance. If so, how does it manifest itself in response of its own being? So it's just like relationship between moon and water. And then the monk said, how do you, Kaoshan said, how do you explain the principle of response? Okay. This is interesting. How can you explain? How can you know? How can you understand response? This response, moon, the water, anyway, put together simultaneously. How can you explain? How can you understand? How can you say so? That's pretty hard, isn't it? It's very hard because you have to say exactly what is between the moon and the water. It's pretty hard to say exactly oneness, hitting the mouth to the oneness. It's very hard. Because if you say so, it doesn't hit the mouth. If you keep silent, it doesn't hit the mouth either. So how can I say? It's pretty hard. But then Buddhism has to say something anyway. Well, this is human life. You have to say something anyway. So, not the verbal explanation, but in the human life anyway, you can say how important human life is because you know how important. If you know how important it is, you don't know how to say. But you have to say. At that time, it's really not something giving to others. I will give you something. It's completely beyond that. All you have to do is just, anyway, be alive on the basis of your true understanding. Anyway, that is nothing but practice and daily living, functioning of daily living. That means education is not to give something to somebody. Anyway, real education is, anyway, you should show yourself. And then, particularly, your kids, your children, friends, understand pretty well. But we don't do that. They're always giving them something first. Follow this and listen to my words. If you don't accept my words, you are bubble. Always we do. And then very naturally, if you force somebody like this, very naturally somebody force you, I don't want. So very naturally, back and forth, finally fight each other. But stop it. Anyway, you should stop this way. First of all, anyway, you have to show yourself. on the basis of anyway ultimate state of truth. That is really education. So that's why he says, how do you explain the principle of response? D said, like an ass looking in the well. Okay, let's imagine the situation. Okay, ass. You know that ass. Ass is, well, in a sense, expression, a sense of stability. Stupidity. But as is animal, it's alright. Okay, let's see the animal, the cold ass. Okay. Ass, look down well. Okay. You know the well is filled with the water, so very naturally face of ass is reflected in the water of a well. Just like a moon is reflected in the water. Just like this. Alright? So, this said, like an ant looking in the well. But boss doesn't say anything, I am looking down you, or well, say, hey, I am looking up you. Boss doesn't say anything, just looking at each other. Alright? And Koshan said, you said a lot, indeed, but you only said 80%. He said, what about you, teacher? Teacher said, anyway, like the well looking at the axe. So, well looking at the axe, as looking at anyway, well. So here is very important point we have to take into account. This one point is, what do you mean by response? Or responsiveness? Responsiveness. What do you mean response? If you use response, what would you say? It's pretty odd. It's only dualistic. Okay? If you do that, then consciously or unconsciously, you expect a kind of response. Alright? Do you understand the response? If you don't, if that doesn't show any response to you as a practicer, you hate it. doesn't say anything. Or doesn't say anything, it doesn't say anything doesn't make sense for you. Don't you think so? Or? Alright. Well, this is, even though it doesn't say anything, it is already, you already that kind of responsiveness. So we always expect responsiveness. If there is no sense of responsiveness, whatever you do, you cannot do. You lose the spirit of doing something, well, because nothing. You know. I told you before when I was in the temple, I didn't get up in the morning and overslept anyway for a week. But my teacher didn't say anything to me. That means. No object in front of me. Teacher is there, but teacher is no object in front of me because he didn't react to me. Do you understand? He just lived by himself. And just when the time comes to get up, he just get up and chanting, performing Buddhist service and zazen and making a breakfast. So, but on the other hand, I always fighting. And fighting means already you have your own object from what you would expect some responsiveness. Do you understand? That is called strike. Strike. Without responsiveness, you cannot strike. You cannot have a strike. Do you understand? Even the real clear flees. You really feel good, you know, to sit in the New York in front of United Nations, because here it's a big building, United Nations. And on the other hand, many people come there and many people look at you. So just sit down there. It's quiet, but it's still noisy. You have still responsive, expect responsiveness. Do you understand? Accepting nothing. How can you sit there? Can you do that? It's pretty hard. That is called human temper, human disposition. Do you understand? Human disposition always expect responsiveness. Without this, you don't do anything. So, if you keep on like the Zen, okay, without any response, your mind immediately making a lot of noise like this, saying, what in the world would this matter end? I am okay? Or should I do this in my whole life? Can I deepen my life through this zazen? Well, after zazen, can I make my life work well? Lots of responsiveness there. Do you understand? Lots of there. But on the other hand, in your mind, anyway, continually making lots of noise, but pay attention to real reality, which is very simple, between Zazen and you. That is just sit down there. It's very quiet anyway. But mind making lots of noise. So, if you let go of your human nature, obviously expecting a certain responsiveness, human disposition anyways sprawls out, spreads out. And just like a vine, anyways spread out. And then finally, it drives you to the end of your tether and leaves you in complete bewilderment. Means you don't know what to do. You are completely at a loss what to do. If you completely let go, let your human disposition, obviously expecting responsiveness, a sense of responsiveness, innate or psychological or internal or external, anyway, if you have it, well, it's fun. But it's really spread out from moment to moment. Finally, you are completely caught by this human nature, human disposition, and you don't know, you are completely at the loss what to do right in the middle of this sprawling, this plant sprawling out everywhere. So finally, you say, scream. You scream. Finally, you say, I want to commit suicide. When I was in the Los Angeles, a young lady came to the Zen Shuji temple who expressed her sadness, saying, I am going to commit suicide. So all ministers in Zen temples very confused because they don't know what to do. But several people there. So one by one, the priest they try to see her and oh, please don't commit suicide because your life is very important. I didn't know what they said to her. Anyway, one by one they went to see her and try to help. Finally, she died. On the other hand, the other case in Japan, a same case, young lady came to see a Zen teacher saying, I want to die. That time she was a very wealthy person, her parents are very wealthy, and the teacher says, oh, you want to commit suicide, huh? Or any time you can commit suicide, go ahead. Because now in Japan, we have too much populations. So even one person disappear from this world, that's pretty good. Please offer your food to me. You understand this really crazy answer. Can't you say to this person who is about to die, it's pretty hard, you must be completely enlightened person, then you can say so. If you have a little bit, this really is a pretty poor, really, I want to help. If you think so, you cannot say so like this. But he said it like this. And finally, she was very surprised. Because she didn't expect it that way. So it was complete, she was speechless, you know, just stood up. And then, she left in the temple without saying anything, and later he wrote a letter to him saying, at that time you really pulled out my feather of the bird. So I couldn't fly. Do you understand? Because he said, oh, sure, go ahead. Because too much population in Japan now. Also, he said, please send your food to me after your death. That's really. How can I fly in the sky? Fly in the sky means you, the commit suicide is also, you have a certain aim to hit called responsiveness, alright? So-called, anyway, suffering. And then you said, I am, there is. You said, maybe you may say that there will be no one in this world like me who is the unhappiest, the most miserable. That means if you suffer from your life, you really educate your suffering until it's become really torment, grow, taking care of, bring up anyway, by yourself. And then, but that means completely expecting something. So response. Because if you grow, educate your suffering until it becomes really terrible torment, well, you feel good in a sense. So very naturally, you enjoy very much the growth of suffering. It's fun. Just like, licking a lick. Lick the tail of, what's animals? I don't know. I forgot. Yolk?
Yak.
It is, I don't know exactly, but in the Zen scripture it says yak always lick his own tail, but his tail is I don't know. It's very stiff and with a kind of a needle on the pin. So lick the his tail because it is his tail, so feeling good, licking. And finally the blood comes out, came out from his tongue, but still he cannot stop licking. Do you understand this? Finally, blood comes up, but he feels good because he's tails. Do you understand? Whatever you do, torment, you try to make your life anyway, torment, suffer. I don't mean you should suffer, okay? But in a sense, you should accept suffering, but I don't mean you should make yourself torment, suffer lots, and create, educate, enlarge of your torment anyway. It's fun, but finally you can't move an inch right in the middle of activities, enlarging your torment. And then finally, I want to die. Well, if you want to die, please go ahead. A friend of mine, really concerned about his friend, who was also about to die and commit suicide. But before he left his home, he continually said to my friends about his committing suicide. So his friend came to see me. What shall I do? How he should deal with? He asked. So I said, "Well, leave him alone. Anyway, sooner or later you will come back, because he didn't leave quietly. Always making noise. He like, I want to be suicidal. Means always you expect somebody who respond to your torment. Consciously or unconsciously. At that time, you can really walk on the street with a pull card. I am committing suicide. So, that's fun. But it's really fun. Do you think so? Just like a stride, walking on the street. with a placard. It's not the problem of now, you know, trucker. We have now problem. Trucker business, you know, they have strike and teachers trying to have a strike. This is not the trucker's problem. This is in each of us the problem always. Not only the materialistical world, psychological world, always you do. Exactly same thing. Psychological stuff is very complicated, and also you don't know what's going on there before you're conscious of. So finally you are completely caught by, and it leaves you in bewilderment, complete. At that time it's too late, in a sense. That's why people want to die at that time. But what I want to tell you is, anyway, what is your practice? What is your daily life? Your daily life is always taking care, expecting of some responsiveness from your psychological state of mind or external state of human world. Offers you response, expect responsiveness. Alright? Do you understand this? Let's see next. If you don't have any responsiveness, what is this? Very quiet. Nothing to say. Just like our ass. Look at the well. While I look at the ass. Zazen look at you, you look at Zazen without expecting any responsiveness. What's going on there? It's quietness, but quietness is going, just going. It's really working. That means a oneness between Zazen and you, or us and well. It's going there. Total dynamic working before you measure the existence of us, existence of well, or existence of Zazen, existence of you, by your yardstick. Yardstick means your measurement, okay? Your intellectual sense, your customs, or coming from, yardstick coming from your education, and your customs, and the heredities, and lots of things. And then, very naturally, you measure immediately by your own yardstick. At that time, it is what happens there. It is called responsiveness. So, Zazen is something measured by your yardstick, or your real existence is something after measuring it by your yardstick? Your real presence is exactly just presence. Working together with all sentient beings, before you measure your presence by your yardstick, it's there. Now it's called being present. You say always, I am present, he is present to me. What do you mean? He is present. See, he is present. Exactly present. What can you say so? Well, what do you mean this? Be present is exactly complete beyond your makeup and judgment by your own state. Just like her as look at the well. Well, look at the anyway. As doesn't look at you, you look at you, doesn't at that time before you measure anywhere by your yardstick. At that time, what's going on there? Doesn't and you, anywhere watching together simultaneously, one. Other one. What is this? This is really silence, very quietness, equanimity, or imperturbability. So very naturally, what is a responsiveness? What is the response? No responsiveness between that and you are no responsiveness. Because responsiveness is a state of your life after measuring or judging your life by your state. That is called responsiveness. But in the realm of quietness and true quality, imperturbability, called responsiveness between Zami and you is very quiet. It's really working here. So silence, no words, nothing to say so. So that's why here, Kaoshan said, you said a lot indeed, because G said, like us looking at the well, so Gosha said, you said a lot indeed, but you only said 80%. 80% doesn't mean 80% opposed to 100%. Anyway, 80% means you cannot express 100% in a word, no, or in a mind, or in your body. It's very difficult. You express yourself in a word 100%, no, because the moment when you say so in a word, it's already responsiveness, you expecting a responsiveness after judging your life by your yardstick. So it's not good enough for you. So that's why very naturally you feel unsatisfactory. Whatever you are judged from, whatever judgment you make. So, real responsiveness between the moon and the water as a oneness is no responsiveness. But it's working there. So how can I express, how can I explain this responsiveness? That's why silent. Silent means negative expression. Completely beyond the word. So, very naturally, you cannot express that negative expression. We cannot help explaining this 100% of your existence in negative way. That is called 80%. That 80% is exactly 100%. Because quiet. No word doesn't hit your mouth. So very naturally you can't help returning to anyway silence, no word. That is called 80%. It's not 80% opposed to 100%. Anyway, 80%. We cannot say, only we can say ourselves, we can say about something, well, 80%. If you say in word, just like a calligraphy. Calligraphy is using your brush, and you cannot use 100% of your brush. You know, you have to use 80% or 70% of brush using, and then you can express calligraphy 100%. Do you understand? If you use 100% of a brush, chalk, the letters really die. Because no dynamic working, no flexibility, elasticity, elasticity, nothing. So you should provide for, anyway, some elasticity against, anyway, well, or to say for aliveness, 100%. That is called 20% elasticity. Yeah. That is called 100%. Because actually you can write your calligraphy really free. It's really alive. Alright? So that is, that's why he says, Kausha said, you said a lot indeed, but you only said 80%. He said, what about you, teacher? Goshan said, like the well, looking at the axe. Well, just turn over, situation, you know. As monk said, as, the as look at, anyway, well. So well looks at as. That means both completely working simultaneously fully without creating any gap called responsiveness. No responsiveness. But it works. It works. Zazen? You don't say, if you expect always there is, yeah, pretty good, next moment, not pretty good, you know, always up and down. But in the same, if you don't have any responsiveness, nevertheless, you just continue to practice, it really works. It really works. So that is called shikanta, zazen. You have to do zazen just like this. So if you do zazen according to, anyway, human disposition, expecting responsiveness, well, it's not necessary for you to do zazen, anyway. Because zazen is practice you have to do completely beyond, anyway, human, anyway, dispositions, expecting responsiveness, complete different world. Nevertheless, it really works. It really works. In my case, I said I slipped over anyway and didn't do anything. I didn't fit to my master's life, but my master didn't respond to my behavior. Day by day, he just do it by himself. How can I respond? How can I expect a response from him? Nothing. That's why I suffered a lot. Even though I slept over, it was not comfortable. It's really torment inside. But I have a strike. So strike means immediately, you know, expect something of somebody, you know, who gives a sense of responsiveness to me. So, psychologically or materialistically, so I can still continue to have a strike. But it doesn't last for long. And then finally, he said to me, not scolding, he said, when the time comes to get up, yeah. That's pretty hard because very strong, you know, suggestions, because I have suffered a lot for certain days without any responsiveness in my strike. Nothing. But I expect responsiveness because I am striking. So obviously expecting. But my teacher didn't respond to me, so no responsiveness there. So what's going on there between I and teachers? Or just daily living, full function of daily living, getting up in the morning, performing the Buddhist service, zazen, just full aliveness of a daily living, just to carry on in silence. Then he knows this is a chance to tell him. So he told me, when the time comes to get up, please get up. When the people have a breakfast, please get up and have a breakfast. Nevertheless, if you feel bad, sick, anyway, go to bed again. That's pretty good. So completely I was crushed. Do you understand this? Nothing responsiveness. And then he just touched me. He just touched me. He doesn't scold me. He just touched me. That is a big shock for me because I was really disappointed because no responsiveness. And then he just touched me. It's really sensitive. Here it is. Just simple, small things, but it's really effective. Alright? So, if you want to really deepen yourself in order to live in peace and harmony, anyway, you have to practice at least zazen, okay? Anyway, without expecting any responsiveness, right in the middle of no responsiveness. Anyway, you should take care in your human disposition. Alright? That is called shikanta. That time, very naturally, it's given to your life. But if I say so, you immediately expect deepening your life through this kind of practice. So don't expect in that way. All you have to do is, day by day, you just do it like this. And then, how long can you think how long it's last? For 3 days, you really feel boredom. For 3 years, you really feel boredom. You really feel angry. You really feel mad at this kind of practice. But nevertheless, there is no responsiveness toward your madness and whatever kind of thing. Just to continue sitting like this, finally what happens? You can't help giving up yourself. Because you're fighting it just like fighting with a tofu anyway. So it doesn't make sense. If you fight, even if tofu is there, you feel really good because it's still responsiveness, you know, you expect. But the tofu means completely no response. More than tofu won't say. Fog, or jellyfish, or water, air, whatever. Nothing, exactly nothing. If you see the air, I have air. You can fight. But exactly nothing. And then if you can keep this kind of practice for at least 10 years, you can see a little bit. You can see a little bit. Aha, this is pretty good. And then most of the people become very arrogant. I did it. That's dangerous. Just like getting a PhD, you know. Or just like success of your business. I did it. And that is a dangerous turning point.
of your life. So watch out at that time. And then you should keep practice this kind of practice for more 10 years, okay? Just to keep in my shape, so just do it. Then you feel, aha, this is what I am expecting. Pretty good. You see, because you can see your life working pretty well. And at that time, also, you fall into the hell. Right? So, you should keep this practice for 10 more years. 30, after 30 years, then you really see called freedom, emancipation, okay? Freedom, liberation. That is, at that time, your life really work. Pretty good. More than pretty good. I cannot say anything. Apparently, you are just you. Usual guy. Usual lady. But if I see you immediately, I can know. I can know. But if you have even a little bit, slightly, a kind of hell, falling into the hell, well, I can touch it anyway. But for 30 years, if you practice just like this, then that is called liberation. I'm sorry for 30 years. But 30 years is too short. It's too short. When I came here, the headquarters promised me I should stay in the United States for 2 years without my family. So I should come by myself. So I left my family in Japan for 2 years. Oh, 2 years. Wow, my 2 years is long time. So how can I wait? How can I be in the United States for 2 years? And then when I came to the United States, I was really confused because everything completely different. So I was really confused because I didn't expect such a confusion. And then 2 years, I felt 2 years was kind of 10 years. So inside, in my mind, I was crying in hell, prison, but no escape. But now, I moved, and then I stayed there in San Francisco for California for 10 years. It was still a long period of time. And then I moved to Minneapolis, and then I have been already 10 years. But I felt very short. Same 10 years. I felt very short. Do you understand? So I should maybe stay for 10 more years. Maybe I should stay 20 more years. And then maybe I could get freedom from you. From Zen. Bye-bye. Right, this is Zen practice, okay? It's pretty nice. You can really live anyway. You are always in your life, look at your life, always just expecting responsiveness. That means you have to really challenge something else. I turn, hey, you must be strong. Get money, see, you know? Get the strong. Oh, always, don't you think so? Just like a spit, see, stop looking at it, always. Do you understand? Spitz is cute. But barking is not the symbol of strength. Barking is really sign of a weakness. That's where you have to bark at always. Only when you are tied up with the responsiveness, you can be quiet, because, well, responsiveness is your master, you know. Here, lots of fun there. So you can be quiet, but if, while you can have a master, you are always barking at. That means a challenge, you're always doing. If you leave from, if you are keep away from master, so-called responsiveness, you don't know what to do. Then spit, anyway, tails, well, what to say? His tails goes down, and then running away with quietness. Do you understand? That's your life, including me. That's interesting, isn't it? So, don't bark anyway. Even though you want to bark anyway, don't bark. Don't bark, bark anyway. Because all the world bark at you anyway, every time, wherever you may go. If you bark back, it's trouble for you. So be quiet. Anyway, just keep your life, you know, practicing just like this, with non-responsiveness. That's pretty good. And then you can see real strength. Real strength. If you become a real strength, strong, you become quiet anyway. Right? Everyone. Everyone becomes just like that. If you are not strength, you are spot. So this is Shikantaza. It's really simple practice. Just sit down without barking anything. That's pretty hard. That's why, anyway, you have to do it. Do you have questions? When you bark at your mom, you should be careful. A little bit, you should find out when, how you bark at, okay? So now it's all right. I give you permission to bark at me.